Yeah, yeah, my heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul, and I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode, from the sidelines down to the post. Put it down like not even close, all out to the last whistle blow. For the flag of the soul and crossbones, everybody stand.
Welcome in to the Pirate Football Playback. Pirates get a huge win in overtime. The Cardiac Pirates, I guess you could say, 30-29 as they put the beat down on Memphis. And that's what I'm going to go with because we won the game. With us right now, the man that doesn't have an avatar, Kyle from the McGrange Barber. How are you?
Hola, mi amigos. Je m'appelle Kyle. That was Spanish and French together. Hey, guys, fired up, man. Obviously, 30-29 victory over Memphis to get bowl eligible. Great day to be a Pirate. I mean, I don't know how everybody reacted. Matt, did you turn the damn game off? Or were you aggravated? I was wondering that by your reaction on text. Did you get aggravated and leave the room, or did you see the end of the game?
Listen, man, that game was a roller coaster. I got to say, I actually at one point walked out of the room because I had to take a breath. Right there towards the end of the game, I was like, it was such a roller coaster. I felt like I was about to have a heart attack. A lot of pressure though, but hey, at the end of the day, they got it done. And now my blood pressure is back to a normal level. So it's all good.
Yeah. I was sitting in my car. So the environment also loved the fact that I was playing the game and the gas was running and I was polluting the environment, but you know what? We got the victory 30-29. I couldn't breathe for, I don't know about you guys, I couldn't breathe very well for how long, however long that meant.
That was because he was running the car in his garage.
No, actually I was outside in my backyard. that's not a good thing. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude? I know you've got to be, the Rosenbaums are already planning all their hotel arrangements, and have you made any calls to your parents on where you're going?
No, I'm not that far into it, still in celebratory mode, but I tell you what, there when that pass fell incomplete, the last 6 years of misery, you know, I can only imagine what those coaches and players, the emotions that they felt, because just as a fan, just all those hardships that we've experienced over the last 6 years, especially the last five since Coach Ruff was gone, just came, flashing in front of you. But, man, what a great day to be a Pirate. And it's days like this, while I would not want to be anything else. And kind of quick, funny story there when that pass fell incomplete, I was screaming and crying at the same time. My 7-year-old was laughing at me.
I was too, Bubba, screaming and crying. And another funny story, this is a true story. I was so excited and didn't know what else to do. My big ass jumped up and I took my shirt off and started spinning around my head like a helicopter. And just running around the house. Jessica looked at me like I was crazy, thought I was going to have a heart attack. My dog, Nikki, was shaking. She didn't know what the hell was going on. It was a great celebration. And if you guys would like, I'll take off my shirt and reenact it on camera.
No. By the way, can I get some of that rum you have, Matt? Because after that story, I'm going to need to have more pirate beverages in here to help my. That's a visual I didn't need to think about. I wish I could go delete. But anyway, hey, when we get a win, we'll take it. I tell you, you like Brandi Chastain when they won the '99 World Cup in soccer. She took off her jersey. Kyle takes it off his shirt and runs around the living room. That's classic Kyle right there, baby.
Yeah, it was. I had to do something, man. I was so fired up. I almost couldn't believe it. I just knew, just every damn thing seems to go wrong. I just knew damn well they were going to get that 2-point conversion. And when it fell incomplete, and then I paused for a second to make sure there was no flags. And then I just started going nuts. I'm sure I was like, there was tears. There was screaming just like Bubba. Matt, did you see the play, though? Honestly, did you see the play?
I did see the play.
Okay.
But I saw it after you because I actually, like I said, I walked away.
Oh, my paused it.
My son paused it. And so I was on a little bit of delay. So I was trying not to look at the phone.
And you said, because I saw you say, did we win?
Yeah, because you guys, when you guys started texting, you were ahead of me. I was on delay.
I didn't know you were on delay.
Okay. All right. Well, we ruined it for you, but I guess it was all right.
He doesn't right. care now.
Probably better off. Yeah. Honestly, though, man, what a win. What a great job. I think the broadcaster mentioned that Memphis had won 17, correct me if I'm wrong, 17 straight games in November. That's, you figure you're talking about going back over 3 years here where they haven't lost in November. So that's a heck of a job to go down there and get a win. I mean, that's impressive. Awesome way to break that streak. And I'll say this, and great job by the coaching staff having the team prepared to go play a game. And you can really nitpick about things that happen throughout the course of the year. You're not going to like certain plays. You're not going to like clock management in certain times. But the one thing you have to say about this coaching staff is that the team is always prepared to play. Yes. Even when we lose, we've had some tough losses. We came to play. So you got to give them credit, man, because that shows me that the team is together and these young kids are buying in to what this coaching staff is preaching. So it's good to see.
Not only are they ready to play, Matt, but when you look at today with the red zone trip settling for field goals repeatedly, when you have them stopped on fourth down and then they convert when they kick the field goal in regulation to go to overtime, there were so many times we could have given up and lost this game, but they just kept. And by the way, I don't think they got that last first down. I think he was short. I don't think they should have ever been able to spike the ball to kick the field goal. I think that clock should have ran out.
Well, that's interesting. I'll tell you one thing. I was thinking about, guys, I've just felt good, even though I said 31-21, so I was wrong on my prediction. But I just feel really good about this team. I think I was thinking
31-28. Me and Matt were pretty damn close.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah, exactly. I give you guys props. I don't care as long as we win. I really don't care about the score, even though it gave me a heart attack.
You know what? I've been saying all year at this point in the season, I'll take a 1-point win in overtime, and lo and behold,
we got it. And I was thinking about, guys, just think about how this year has gone. If you think about it, we're 0-2. It looked like we're going to be 0-3. The Marshall game is the game that turned the season around. And we can look back on this. Will that be the biggest win? This was a great win, obviously, today. But the game, to me, that really turned the season around started that third game of the year. The Marshall game, you're down, 17 guys in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
And you have to get an onside kick and you score a touchdown. That's Matt Semenza pirate football in the 90s, where you're beating teams and you're coming back and trick plays, and Coach Logan, a riverboat gambler that he was and still is. And so I thought about this week when I was at work about what I would say if we won. But I have to go back to that game that really, you want to talk about righting the ship, that we could easily have been 0-3. Maybe 1-4, but we didn't play well against Charleston Southern. So we're very, very blessed to be in the position we're in. And the good news is this is not the last game of the season. I really believe next week I call this the payback tour this month. We paid back Memphis that we've owed them for a while now. And we got that win back. Next week, we've got Navy and then we've got Cincinnati. So we're going to finish out the year 8-4. I'm very confident on that. I really am. That we're going to win out.
Well, it's. I hope you're right. It's tall task next 2 weeks. To me, the biggest thing about this Navy game is getting these guys focused. You got to be locked in and focused to beat Navy with that triple option, and that's my biggest concern. These guys are riding an all time high right now. They've reached their goal, and now if you're Coach Houston, you got to get them locked back in. You got to say, hey, Coach Ruff, you say 24-hour rule, and you got to get these guys locked back in and say new goal. Now it's time to go get win number 7 because, if we lose the Navy, we lose the Navy. But it does concern me that we have Navy following this game. I wish we played somebody with a traditional offense. I do think the way we pursue to the ball bodes well for playing Navy, but we got to be locked in and focused. You don't want to – we got a lot of positive momentum now, and you don't want to limp into a bowl game. So, you know, the season did not end today. No. We need to go take care of business against Navy and have this place. Look, hey, I've been saying it for a while now. We have an opportunity. You're now right, to win our Navy, with Cincinnati continues to win, to be playing on primetime ABC 7 o'clock on Black Friday. And that's big time anywhere in the country.
Matt Semenza, we're going to have our ugly sweater promotion. We got to talk to the people in Greenville. Sure. Look, we're going to have Matt Semenza and his wife. The whole family is going to be coming down for Thanksgiving. We're going to have a great time. We're Pirates. We know how to show the Semenza family a good time. And I tell you what, we're going to have a primetime game. I mean, what the hell? This is what I want to ask the fans. What the hell do you need now? We're bowl eligible. We're going to beat Navy. Cincinnati's rocking right now. We're going to be on a damn primetime game on ABC. Do you hear me? Well, I know that, but we're going with that right now until we hear differently. And what is it, 7
o'clock? At worst, it's 3:30 on ESPN. That's still pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Either way, we're going to be great. So what I'm saying is wear your damn ugly sweater. Come in. Let's have that place rocking. Let's have people drinking at 5 o'clock in the morning. So that place is extra rowdy for Cincinnati. I don't normally say that. Please be responsible with your drinking, but I will say I want that place electric.
We want people doing crack at 4:30 a.m.
I didn't say that.
You just
tell your family not to smoke crack.
Hey, and you just nailed it, Dave. I think that's the selling point to the team.
I'm gonna call my mom and tell her you said she smoked crack, and you know that's not gonna go well for you, Dave.
I love your mom.
Say no to crack. But I think that's the selling point to the team this week. If you're Mike Houston, like if you guys were talking about how to dial them back in and make sure we're ready for Navy, my selling point is, hey, guys, imagine how it would be if we can go up to Navy and get this win this week, and now we set ourselves up to have a home game potentially against the number two team in the country with everything on the line. That's an unbelievable opportunity. That's got to get the kids jacked up, give them a little extra juice for next week. But I also think we're playing with house money a little bit going up there now. This game takes a lot of the pressure off. Worrying about that bowl game. Yeah, now you can just really dial it in. You could play fast, play loose. You got to be prepared for that option. But it does take a little bit of the pressure off, I think. And I think, Bubba, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I think you were chiming in.
Yeah, going back to just the – all the twists and turns of a football season as well as a game like today. Coach Houston said it very well in his remarks on ESPN Plus after the game, just talking about, you know, as tough as it was to go through what we went through in some of those games this season, specifically in UCF and Houston, as tough as that was at the time, you know, that put us in a position to be able to win a game like today where there were so many tough times within the game, all those times we had to kick and chip shot field goals, and then battling back in the fourth quarter, Holton Ahlers having been sacked six times, finding the guts to engineer a drive like that, hats off to Holton. You could tell how much it meant to him when he was being interviewed post-game.
Yeah, Holton was extremely emotional. And I think Coach Houston if you watch that interview prior to Holton coming on camera and talking, I think if you listen to Coach Houston, I think he's doing a little bit of in-house recruiting. Sometimes you got to re-recruit a player. And I think there was some thoughts and some talk behind the scenes of Holton transferring out after this season. And if you really listen to Coach Houston, go back to listen to what he said about Holton post-game. He said, we wouldn't have won this game without Holton. He's the best damn quarterback in this league. He's our leader. I think there's a little bit of recruiting going on to try to get Holton to stay because we got a lot coming back, particularly on defense.
Yep.
And we open the season with NC State next year, not to look too far ahead. Yeah, and we open the season with NC State, not to look too far ahead. So I do believe that there's a little bit of trying to get Holton to stay going on right now with Coach Houston. And go ahead, Bubba.
The mental toughness that Holton showed, after throwing the pick early on that set up the short field, then throwing the other one in the end zone where, he was trying to go with the back shoulder throw. Just for him to move past that and those other things that I already mentioned, it just shows a lot. And for those who, you probably had their pitchforks ready again, shows you what Holton Ahlers is made of.
Yeah.
Guys, let me ask you a question, and then I'm going to make a point behind it. When we hear people complain about Holton Ahlers, what is usually the number one complaint?
His accuracy, his throwing ability is the one thing I've heard the most.
The one I hear the most earlier in the season, at least this is what I hear, is that he didn't seem willing to run the ball.
Yeah, he's done that a lot today.
And if you look at like the last few weeks, he is running. This is what I've always wanted to see. This is the Holton I have always wanted to see, man, because he can be a weapon when he runs the ball. I mean, today, yeah, he had the two picks, and you know what? It's part of football. But, man, how many third downs did he convert on quarterback draw, whether it was designed or if it was just kind of like scramble mode where there was nothing available and he just tucked it and ran? He steamrolled some people. I mean, I honestly, probably at least five times today. In third and short situations, he converted using his legs. And that's all I've wanted to see from Holton for 2 years now. I've been begging for it. So this is the Holton Ahlers I think everybody wants to see. Is he perfect? Is he like John Elway accuracy-wise? No, but that's okay. You can live with it if he's being himself. This is what right. He is. He is an athlete who plays quarterback. And it's awesome to see, man. Like, I just watching that game, I'm like, this is great. This is the guy we've been waiting for. And you got to take your chances because look at Cincinnati. Desmond Ridder, he runs that zone read 10 times a game, and he's been doing it for years, and he's a much smaller guy. So I'm taking my chances with Holton and letting him run. And it paid off again today. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, and you're right about having that.
You talk about some of those third down conversions very quickly, Dave. And Pirates has been so well documented, absolutely dismal on third down, just a little under 28%. I think next to last or near the bottom of the nation. But today, I think it was 18 out of 26 or 27. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well over, a little bit over 70%.
Actually, yeah, I think Holton had a great game today, considering how poor the offensive line played, giving up six sacks, maybe.
Yeah,
I really and they tipped a lot of balls too. Not only they get sacks, they had quite a few tips at the line. So considering how bad the O line played and how good Memphis' D line played, I think Holton had a really good game. Actually,
I'll tell you, the play for me to watch, guys, was that speaking of Coach Houston and the staff. The fourth downs, I absolutely love the going for it on fourth down. I'm one of those great most sometimes, to kick the field goal, when we had Verity. But the going for the fourth down thing, it means that you believe in your team. I know that they can say, well, Daffer and all that, but the confidence that he has in this team and to have the fourth and one, with Holton threw it to Snead, even though it wasn't much of a reception, as far as yardage. But that was a huge play to keep the drive alive. The safe, if you say conventional wisdom is probably to punt the ball. I think Bubba can help me out. I think it was 7.5 minutes left in the game. I can't remember exactly, but we went for it fourth and one there and kept the drive alive, keeping those drives alive. The time of possession was, I really believe, even though we only beat them by 1 point, we and this team not only is not going to give up, but you look at one of the points I want to make, guys, too, that just dawned on me. I was going to say earlier, and we're 20 minutes into the show, we're finally playing the style of football that Mike Houston wants to play. The physicality. Look at the defense. Look at this team. My God, in Memphis, that 4 years ago, I wanted to vomit. They gave up in the first quarter. This team never, ever, ever gives up. And I love that about how they, in the past, When they took the lead, Memphis did, that would have been game over for us. Even if we were in a tight game, it would have been over. And the fact that they fought back, they get the touchdown, and a minute and 29, maybe too early, but we had to take the points. We couldn't – that was the frustration for me is this should have been a blowout. We kept getting 3 points instead of seven. That that was my only complaint for the whole day is we've got to find a way going down the line and to win a bowl game. We've got to score points.
Well, I agree with you. It was very frustrating. But hats off to Dapper for making those kicks because without them, we'd lost the game. And also another, we haven't mentioned this. Keaton Mitchell with the run in overtime to go ahead. Huge run by Keaton. Keaton didn't have his best day today. He didn't have a bad day, but he didn't have his best day today. Didn't get 1,000 yards, but he had a couple big runs, and that one in overtime was the biggest. And you know, it put the pressure on Memphis. Memphis comes down and ties, or we thought they were going to tie it. And Coach Houston with the decision to call timeout on that extra point, which I think was a GOAT move. Not GOAT as in greatest of all time, but GOAT as into GOAT Silverfield into going for two because he knows his kicker's struggling. And I think Coach Houston knew his best chance to win that game was to end it right then and win it on defense rather than trying to win another overtime another overtime against against that quarterback from Memphis. And by the way, you know, two-point conversion is such a damn big point of overtime now. You might as well do it and get it over with because if you go to multiple, you're going to be playing a lot of two-point conversions, and I'm glad we didn't have to see that nonsense.
That's the worst thing for college football.
Right now. It's stupid.
I hate it.
Hey, by the way, not for nothing. I don't want to get off on a tangent and get off the subject of what we're talking about here, but if they want to make a overtime that ends faster and one that makes more sense, I really think they're overthinking it. Start the drives at the 50. Instead of starting at the 25, push it back to the 50, make you have to work for field goal range rather than automatically being in it, and I think you'd have overtimes end a lot faster.
Yes, an excellent point, Kyle. I do think that they've overthought the overtime thing. But, you know, getting back to our ground game today, we had just shy of 200 yards. It wasn't where you would want yards per carry-wise. And, you know, we didn't execute at times in the red zone clearly. But at the same time, think about that run that Rajay Harris had. I think it was a third down where it looked like he was going to be stopped. And then all of a sudden he squirts out to the left side 50 yards later down the field. That was a heck of a run. Then Keaton had an excellent run down around the goal line. I guess it was maybe there in the fourth quarter when we ended up taking the lead. But he had a tremendous run, and Keaton finished with 17 carries for 81 yards and that big touchdown there in overtime.
Yeah, Rajay had 69 yards. So, solid day. And how many rushing yards does Holton have? I know – has anybody done the math to take away the sack yardage from Holton's rushing total? Or without the sack yardage is what I'm saying. How many rushing yards would Holton have had today?
I feel like he had to be around 70 at least, somewhere in that neighborhood, I would think.
Yeah, if not more. I mean, he had some big runs.
Even with the six sacks calculated in, he still finished 18 for 46. So, yeah, I feel certain it was 70, probably more than that.
Yeah. Wow. By the way, that is the stupidest thing in football.
Say, yeah, it is.
It just makes no sense why that takes away from your rushing total. Never will understand that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's absurd.
From a linebacker there, Matt. You think it's absurd too?
I think it's absurd. That and daylight savings time. Don't get me started.
That's a yes. Thank you. It's that dumb. That's so dumb.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I was going to say, like, one thing – I said this – I can't remember who I was talking to. I said it about a week ago. But the one thing about Mike Houston is he is – I've never seen a coach so committed to running that ball. And even when it's not working, he sticks with it. He sticks with it no matter what. And there are times when I'm, like, yelling at the TV screen, like, don't run it up the middle again, you know, that type of thing. And – but he – he is determined to run the ball because that's what he does. That's what that's his DNA. That's what his scheme is all about. And he sticks with it. He sticks with it. And then we eventually had some huge runs pop, you know, Rajay popped one in the last drive where he looked like Bubba mentioned, he looked dead. And then obviously in overtime, Keaton breaks free, you know, and scores a touchdown. So, you know, again, you got to give some credit there.
You know, another thing I saw today is it the, help me out, Bubba and Matt, maybe Kyle, is it the formations that we're presenting to the defense, but that middle of the field is open a lot. That great catch that Ryan Jones had, I want to say it was in the first half. It was like 20 yards. But, you know, like there's a big plays that were are being made. And another thing, too, that we haven't mentioned that I'm really excited about is how about the fact that Snead had a really big game today. You know, when you think about it, there's different – the great thing about our offense, there's many different weapons that you can choose from. Oh, well, you want to guard – you know what, you want to match up with Snead? Okay, we have a whole bunch – you know, a plethora of guys that can catch the ball, including our running backs.
How about CJ catching some short passes and some intermediate passes versus just the long balls? So it's good to see CJ developing more as a receiver – instead of just having to stretch the field, getting some underneath stuff. I'm sure that's something you guys noticed.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he's playing better. He's not getting a ton of receptions, but he's becoming more reliable, I think, as the season goes on. I thought he got held today in the end zone in the first half. I thought that was there were two missed calls on that drive. There was the pass down the middle to Ryan Jones, and the refs missed a face mask, a clear face mask that would have set
pulled him down.
Him right down. And then I thought CJ was clearly held. It looked like we were trying to throw like a little back shoulder throw inside the 10-yard line. He was clearly held. And then what really set me off was same situation with McMillan. And guess who throws?
Oh, the yeah.
So yeah. Sometimes you can't win as a Pirate with these AAC refs. But again, a few missed calls today.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
By the way, guys, our good friend, Dr. John Bream, just asked me if I wanted PayPal or Venmo. He owes me $20. We made a bet last year. He made the ridiculous statement that we would be in the NCAA tournament or the NIT before we made it to a bowl game. And I said, we'll go to a bowl game next year. And he just asked me PayPal or Venmo. So as long as he pays forward, we can say Dr. Bream ain't no Welch.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It feels good that he's having to pay you. I'm glad. I love Dr.
Bream. I would imagine he's glad to.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going bowling now, baby.
Appreciate folks chiming in on Facebook as well as YouTube. Yes. Johnny Robertson did the math for us. He said Holton was 18 for 77, and then he had 31 yards in sacks.
Thank you, Johnny.
Nice job, because Matt said 70 off the top of his head. So nice job, Matt. You're pretty close.
But going back to the day that Tyler Snead had, it was his second 100-yard game of the season. He finished with 13 catches for 113 yards. You talked about C.J. Johnson, even though not huge numbers in terms of yardage, he had some very big catches, five for 44. And then you also had a solid effort by Ryan Jones.
Ryan had a couple of catches
for 70.
Yep. I think Audie only have one catch today.
I think Audie finished with two catches, two for 35.
Okay, and I believe what's his name? Our other tight end had a big catch.
Yeah, you know, Memphis did a nice job today. What they did was when we would get down in the red zone. I'm sure you guys noticed this too, but they would put 11. I mean, they were bringing everybody up, press coverage, man to man, right in our receivers' faces, and they were bringing pressure. They were bringing pressure on Holton, and I mean, he had to get the ball out so quickly in order to make those throws because our offensive line was really struggling. But I think that was a nice wrinkle by Memphis, and it really gave us major problems in the red zone. I don't know if we were anticipating that or not, but they did a really good job with that, and we struggled to protect.
Let me ask a question. Go ahead, Dave.
I just want to make one of our regulars. He's a good friend of ours. It's his 21st birthday. Happy 21st birthday to Richard Allsbrook. What a great birthday present to a great Pirate. And I say 21 plus. But he's a great pirate, a great guy. He's from Williamston, Martin County guy. So, and yeah, go Pirates. Appreciate you, Richard, for sharing your birthday with us today. And he has a great thing, guys. Please check the conference standings. I think we're tied with SMU with a UCF loss today. So I'm not sure. I was wondering about that, Richard. You're ahead of the game. I was going to ask the guys that with the conference standings with that, but I wasn't sure. So I was going to check with them before I made that assumption that I was right about that. So I'm not sure. Do you guys know off the top of your head, are we now tied with third with SMU?
Well, SMU has two losses in conference. That gives UCF two losses in conference. So, yeah, I would think it would be a three-way tie for third.
Let that simmer. Think about that. We were 11th or 12th every year.
Yeah.
And now we're tied for third. Just think about the turnaround. Next month, yeah, December 4th, 3 years that we've had Mike Houston. And in 3 years, less than 3 years' time, we're going to a bowl with a chance to still win nine games, guys. We can still win nine games mathematically. That's crazy to think about where we were and where we are now.
Well, we got off subject, but I had a question for Bubba earlier, and Matt, you can answer it too. But Bubba played quarterback, so it was more for him. And Matt, well, you could probably scout this. Holton is mobile. You know, he's not a speedster, but he's mobile. When we get down in the red zone, one thing I've always wondered, it seems like spreading it out and running some speed option with Holton, with somebody, you know, with one of the running backs as the pitch man, it seems like it would be a really good idea down in the red zone. I mean, do I think Holton can run the option, or is that a bad idea, or what?
Are you saying do Wildcat?
No, I'm not doing Wildcat. Run the speed option.
Yeah. No, I think you know, I've seen us do it a time or two, but yet, like you're saying, some of those times where we went empty down there today, I was wanting us to at least put a back in the backfield where you have that threat, or you know, we've had success running things off of a jet sweep fake, you know, and I want to say it was South Florida game. You had a touchdown run by Rajay Harris where you fake jet one way, and you had Rajay had about a 20 or 25 yard touchdown run.
I picture, you know, David Garrard when we used to do that with him in the red zone and run option down there with a pitch man, and how much success it would have. And Garrard was really good at knowing when to pitch it too. You know, he would wait till the defender was right on him, and then he would pitch it out to one of the backs. And if maybe Holton doesn't have that ability, maybe he's not good at drawing the pitch man in and then pitching it out. But I just picture Holton physically very similar to Garrard, not quite as athletic, but very similar. And if you have a pitch man there, and somebody's getting, if he has that ability, and he might not be able to pitch it out, you know, as well as Garrard did. I don't know. You would think if he could do it, that would be a wrinkle we would put in.
I don't know. Maybe they are saving some stuff, knowing down the line, you know, because we've got these two games plus a bowl game now. Plus we'll have the practices in December.
Yeah, maybe installing something for the bowl game. But if you're saving something at this point, good God.
You know,
I'm saying it.
You know, like Garrard, he would run speed option, but he was under center. Yes. You know, Logan will put him under center. But you can run speed option from the gun like we do.
Yeah, Rich Rodriguez, that's his whole offense.
Yeah, I mean, so I to your point, I mean, I think it would be a nice little wrinkle. Hey, why not? You know, let's empty the playbook.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I got a question for all three of y'all and for the viewers. I'd love for the viewers and listeners to chime in on this. Well, I guess it would just be the viewers. I guess the listeners have anywhere to chime in. But if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, if you can chime in on this, and you three guys, what bowl game? If you could choose right now, forget if it's 8-4 or 6-6 or 7-5. Just right now, if you could choose a bowl, which bowl would you want to play in? Part of me wants to go to Annapolis and play in the Military Bowl against a Louisville or a Syracuse. The other part of me wants to go to Myrtle Beach because it's an easy drive. And if I could choose an opponent for Myrtle Beach, I'd love for Charlotte to get to 6-6 and us just go beat the snot out of Charlotte.
It's our rival, Kyle. Know, that would be great.
Be, yeah, for sure. It could be Conference USA. It could be MAC or it could be Sun Belt in that bowl. But I want Military or Myrtle Beach. What about you guys? And please, viewers and listeners, chime in also.
Okay, what I think it'll be is I think it'll be the Military Bowl, December 27th. I have to do my schedule in advance to ask time off, so I picked the Myrtle Beach Bowl. So it probably won't be the Myrtle Beach Bowl because I probably jinxed us from that. Yeah, it's on me. But if I have to my guess, I would say the Military Bowl, especially when going back to the conference tie-ins. I think it'll be Military or.
Well, what would you want? Do you want? Is that what you want, or do you want Myrtle? I'm asking what you want.
I want Myrtle.
Okay.
I want Myrtle is what I want. Because I think the fan base, even a guy like Matt Semenza, do you really think Matt Semenza wants to go to Fenway in December? I mean, or do you think he would rather go to Boca or somewhere? You know, that's why I'm wearing this shirt because, I mean, you know, Hawaiian shirt because I don't want to be somewhere cold, I can promise you.
Well, Ryan Jones said, I believe it was Ryan that said both of these.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want to go to Myrtle because it was too close and he didn't want to go to Boston because it was too cold. So,
it's a good answer.
I think he wants to go somewhere in Florida.
Yeah, what do you guys, Matt,
if you could pick, where would you go?
Selfishly, it would be, you know, I would say Myrtle or Fenway.
You got the $100 flight to Myrtle, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I said, selfishly for me, I could take Spirit Airlines into Myrtle for, you know, under $100. I mean, it's very affordable. And, you know, it's a fun place to be. I'd like to party in Myrtle for a few days and get some warm weather. And then the other option would be the nice thing about Fenway for us Pirate fans who live up here in the Northeast. You know, for me, it's under a 2-hour trip. I could be at Fenway Park and just shoot right up there. So, you know, I'd be happy with either one of those. I think number one, though, I'd like to see Myrtle Beach and get down to some warm weather. And I think Pirate fans would travel really well. We'd pack that stadium, that tiny little high school stadium.
Yeah. And speaking of the high school stadium, that's my one caveat. If Coastal's in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, no, not that I'm scared of Coastal. I'll gladly play Coastal in Orlando or in Boca, but no way do we play them in a home game in a bowl game. Nope.
Yeah.
What about you, Bubba? What would you like?
You know, I look at it kind of from a different standpoint as far as, you know, who could we beat that, you know, where it would be, you know. Let's flash back to 2007. You know, some of the bowls that were being talked about that year in the third year of Skip Holtz on the GMAC Bowl or whatever it was called at the time. We were going to be potentially going there to play Bowling Green, or you could go to the Hawaii Bowl, and obviously very few fans can go, but it's great for the players as well as the coaches and their families. But then you also get a matchup with Boise State, who was coming off that win over Oklahoma. So – from that standpoint, although, you know, Fenway is not appealing in terms of the weather, a trip to Boston would be fun. That's somewhere I've never been. You have the chance to play an ACC opponent, and then I have the chance to do something I've never done, go to Fenway Park, and oddly enough, to watch the Pirates play football. That would seem like a weird dream. But and then you have the Military Bowl, a matchup against the ACC opponent. So, you know, how fun would that be to take on Syracuse or Virginia Tech or Louisville there? Those are the pluses of that, and that's kind of why I lean toward one of those. But I know where my family wants to go. They want to go to the Cure Bowl and take on a Sun Belt team, probably.
Most likely.
Most likely a Sun Belt team down there in Orlando, so they'd get a trip to Disney World.
Hey, you know, Georgia State, and I don't know, whatever happened with that Coastal Carolina-Georgia State game, Georgia State was leading that game at one point. We're going to play a Sun Belt school, and Georgia State's a dangerous team, but I'd kind of like to get payback on those guys.
Hell yeah. Let's keep the pay the payback tour continuing. Listen, that game still haunts me last year. I thought that game would be a much closer game with a lot of folks.
Score update, Dave. Sorry to interrupt you. Georgia State 42, Coastal Carolina 40, final.
Ooh. Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Very nice. You know what? And that's probably going to put Coastal staying home for the bowl season. So they will probably be in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. So that's kind of scratching that one for me.
Anyway, come and see Matt.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I will take you to the best Italian restaurant in Boston, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah. Richard Osbrook says Annapolis, Orlando, then Boston with ACC opponent. I tell you what, with Fenway, yeah, let's get a whole bunch.
Boca Raton is also a possibility. We left that one out, yeah. And that's a real possibility.
Yeah. Well, hey, wherever we go, the fact I was
– go visit your grandma in Boca.
There you go. Somebody asked me this week about what bowl. I said, we can go to the Tidy Bowl. I'd be happy with the Tidy Bowl. So
that's where we've been going in recent years.
If we're going to Florida, I would prefer that one, even though my family would – I'm sure they wouldn't complain with that one either, but they'd prefer Orlando because of being able to go to Disney World. But I'd like to go to Boca because I've never been to South Florida.
What, Bubba, what day is that bowl game? Do you know?
I will have to look that up.
Okay.
I'll try to get there right now.
It's nice to have the bowl games before the holidays, you know, because things get a little crazy there in between Christmas and New Year's. So,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'll take anything we can get. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sound picky, but it would be nice if there's a bowl game around the 20th.
Yeah. Richard Osbrook puts, I heard Ron Dowdy's, it's actually his daughter that's a part of the Cure Bowl. So I wanted to get that in there for you. It's his daughter that has that. So we have that. I mean, the great thing about it, we know we're going to a bowl. That's the first thing. And like you guys were talking about, let's not worry about that right now. Let's talk about Navy. Let's talk about beating Cincinnati. Because I really believe this team is an 8-4 team now. I said 7-5 was my prediction at the beginning of the year. But I really believe now, I mean, hell, we can win for the regular season. We can go 8-4 easily now. I really believe that. I think this team – Matt, you said it pre-show in the green room. This team has swagger. Like you guys, they really believe in the coaching staff. They really believe in themselves. They're having fun out there. We're not seeing them give up. That we talked about the physicality. They're running the football. They're playing defense. I mean, my gosh. That's by the way, Matt, we've got one of our – Robert Dietrich, another one of our viewers, says, Matt, let the rest of us in on the Italian restaurant if we go to Boston. So
let's go, Robert. I got you, man. I got good recommendations, and we'll save you a seat.
Matt, the Boca Raton Bowl is ridiculously early, December 18th.
You know what, though? It is early, but I kind of like it. I'll be honest. I kind of like it. And I think
I believe that's a Sunday. Is that a Sunday?
Wow.
Saturday. Saturday, right?
That's a Saturday? I'm going to check right now.
It's a Saturday because Christmas is on Saturday on the 25th.
Okay, Saturday. Yeah, you're right. It's a Saturday. You're correct. You're correct.
Can I hear that again?
you got a date correct? Congratulations. It'll be interesting to see where we go. Like I said, like you just pointed out, Navy and Cincinnati's up first. But at least we can talk about this now. Before everybody was talking about it, and I felt uncomfortable talking about it because I didn't want to disappoint myself and get my hopes up. But look, if we get left out of a bowl now, I'd be shocked. Even if we finish 6-6, that would be insane. As long as we've, you know, somebody will get left out undoubtedly from going to a bowl. But if they were to leave us out, even if we finish 6-6, as long as we've been since going to a bowl, somebody's lost their friggin' marbles.
Yeah, furthermore, these bowls have Matt and Bubba and Kyle. Let me ask you this question. One question I had, we had the chance to, if we won the game, one of the questions I was thinking about for this week, where do you think we would sell the most tickets? Myrtle Beach? Would you say, do you think we sell more of the military? Where do you guys think that more in Pirate Nation, like in other words, with the Coastal one, as far as Coastal Carolina with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, that's what, 20,000 seats? Is it 20? Is that right?
It's like 20. It's like 21,000. Yeah. I think if we were playing in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, if we're playing Coastal down there, I don't know how many tickets we would be allotted. We would sell our allotment. Coastal obviously would buy a lot. I don't know. It depends. You know, I think there in Annapolis, I think in Annapolis, I think we carry a big crowd. In Myrtle Beach, man, I would hope, unless it was coastal and they took a bunch of the tickets, I'd hope we'd at least sell 15,000 down there. I mean, I really do.
But I think you could sell a lot of tickets.
10,000 would be good. Annapolis, I would think 5,000 to 10,000. I think anywhere else besides that, you're probably looking at more the 5,000 to 7,000 range. Unless something crazy happens and we go to like to Hawaii or Birmingham or something like that, then I think the tickets would be much less.
Yeah, I really like our – I think people are starving. You know, Matt, it used to be that we would get mad at like a certain – we don't want to go to this bowl or that bowl. I don't want to make any of the bowls mad, but now
I'm like, remember when we went to the Beef O'Brady's Bowl, people were disappointed. Hell, that bowl's against an ACC opponent now, and I don't think the American has that this year. Do they? Do we have the St. Pete Bowl?
I'll have to look back in the times. I just like the old way that we used to, like I've said before – I would much rather see, since ESPN owns a lot of them, I'd rather see the matchups, like if it's a Boston.
And they do. But, Dave, the ESPN-owned bowls will trade amongst themselves.
I hope they will.
That's been talked about. So, but, you know, you got some bowls like the Military Bowl and the Fenway Bowl that are what they are. But, yeah, the Myrtle Beach Bowl, the Birmingham Bowl, the Boca Bowl, there's several of these bowls that are owned by ESPN that they will trade around.
Guys, sidebar really quick. A guy that I used to love, a football player, I just saw came across the wire that Sam Huff, the Hall of Famer, passed away at the age of 87. Speaking of linebackers for the Giants and the Redskins, and he was great on the broadcast with Sonny, Sam, and Frank back in the day, a great radio thing. So rest in peace, my friend, and one of my favorites of all time, especially when it comes to broadcasting. I hope people would love to. I'd love to think that people enjoy us, but I certainly enjoy Sonny and Sam fighting. Sonny Jurgensen being offense, Sam being defense. The two of them going at it was fun on the air.
Yeah, RIP to him. He lived to be in his 80s. We should all be so lucky. Upset alert potentially, guys. Southern Miss, one win football team, late third quarter, up 17-10 at number 19, I believe it is, UTSA. So, pending. Come on, the Golden Eagles.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you guys, just like kind of jumping back into like, you know, looking at the next few weeks here, the Navy game really excites me. And normally I despise, you guys know my feelings on playing Navy. I'd rather play Alabama. We have a really poor history against them. We should be able to get it done this year. And I personally, I love the Naval Academy. Don't get me wrong. I love it, but I despise that triple option. And I want to see.
Is Rusty still in the Navy?
Get redemption. I want to see. Is Rusty still in the Navy? And I want to see us get redemption this week. And I think we have the defensive coordinator that knows how to get it done. You know, I won't mention the names of any DCs, but about, I guess it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we went up there and we were playing the pitch man with our backside free safety. I'll never forget it. And we will be much more prepared schematically. We have a much more physical D line and we attack. I think you have to attack it. So I think we're going to be in a much better place and we should win that game.
We will win that game because I'll tell you why. We will be not only prepared to play that game, we came close last year. They wouldn't even let our star quarterback play the game because of a false positive. And we had a kid, I love Mason Garcia. He never played before. Look how great he played against them. They don't have the number of athletes they've had in recent past. That's their issue right now. I think that I love the Naval Academy, love what they stand for. But it makes me sick to my stomach that they own, that they're another team that has owned us. It's time for payback for them. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people that are when we win next Saturday night about 7 o'clock, a lot of people are going to be celebrating because that team has been one that's been a thorn in our side for a long time. Temple, We got think about all the wins we have this year.
Everybody's Navy in particular. Navy goes back to when Ruffin was here. Really goes back to when Skip Holtz was here. Yep. We've only beaten Navy one time ever. That was in 2011 in Annapolis. That's actually the last time I went to an airport. So tonight will be the first time since we beat Navy in 2011 that I have welcomed the team back at the airport.
And what time is the team arriving?
It's 8 o'clock. They just took off. Brian said it's an hour and a half flight. So you probably need to be there at 7:30 Pirate Nation if you're going to go, because they're probably going to get there before 8 because they just took off and it's an hour and a half flight. So
thanks, Meteor, for letting us know.
Yep. Thank you, Meteor. I hope I ain't getting Meteor in any trouble for that, but I don't think anybody would care. We are only doing good with this. So
thousands of people show up.
I hope we at least have 50, 60 people out there. But we're going to hit the road here in a minute and head that way. Grab something to eat before we go. But I lost my train of thought talking about that. But it's Navy is a team that I'm worried about us not being focused because of what we just accomplished. So the coaching staff's going to have to do a good job getting these guys refocused. But if we come out focused, I hope you're right, but I'm just telling you. We're gonna have to get them focused, and if we can come in focused and locked in, I like our chances. It's definitely a game we need to win. You don't want to lose any momentum. You don't want to limp into a bowl game. You don't want to limp into that game against Cincinnati. You want to come in red hot, and we really have a chance to make history when you think about it. I mean, there's only been a handful of 8 or 9 win teams in ECU football history.
I was going to say that. Right? That's exactly. I was going to ask you guys. That was one of my questions, Kyle. How many 9 win teams do we have all time? Is it 2 or 3?
It's not more than that. It's more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of 3 off the top, 4 off the top of my head, but not a lot. And it is. Another thing that this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but I mentioned to Bubba, and Bubba kind of said he doubted it. But let me tell you something: Cincinnati's ranked number 2 in the country, by the polls, and forget the committee. So if you win Navy and then you knock off Cincy and then you win your bowl game, we may end up in the top 25. I mean, people hadn't thought about that, but if you beat the number 2 team in the country, that's going to get you votes immediately. As long as we take care of business against Navy prior to that. Then if you go win your bowl game and now you're getting votes, you may end up in the top 25, particularly if it's against a Syracuse or another ACC opponent.
Right. Hey, that's a good problem to have, right? And how many people out there don't think this program is heading in the right direction? We're heading in the right direction. We've got the right coach. I'm fired up. I tell you what, Matt, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to you and all our great former football players. I had, when I heard Jeff Charles, our good friend, I had to listen to him, and I'm in my car, and when he said, you can pay this.
What was his call like, Dave? I'll go back and listen. By the way, to anybody who wants to know this, download the Varsity app, and you can go back and listen to Jeff Charles' call, because, you know, if you were like me, you were just watching the ESPN3 broadcast or the ESPN Plus broadcast. So download the Varsity app to your smartphone. You can go back and hear Jeff's call. But, Dave, what was it like?
He was very emotional, obviously, and when the pass was incomplete and he says, you know, the simple, you can paint this one purple, that was, to be honest, that's all I remember because I was so emotional that I had tears in my eyes thinking about, and I was sincerely, I was thinking about the football players. You guys have put so much into the program, and the program had got such to a low point. It was not Pirate football. I thought about you guys. I thought about you, Matt. I thought about Mark Washington, our great friend. I thought about Terry Gallagher. There's so many football. Kevin Walker, who sponsors our great show. By the way, thanks to Kevin for L&K Custom Homes, who sponsors the Pirate football playback. But I was very happy for you guys because you guys have been – I know it's going to be torture to watch. Like, basically, speaking of houses, our house as far as football – it was torn all the way down in shambles, to use an analogy. And now we're building that house back. We've got the foundation. And God, when, you know, guys, one more thing I was going to say is, you remember the press conference that Houston had? It was December 4th. That's my grandmother's birthday of 2018. and he was talking about, he won the press conference, but when he was talking about, what's that famous line, guys, help me out, where he said the very end of the press conference when he was talking about Dowdy Ficklin being rocking, and what was it, Bubba, help me out? I'm drawing a blank here on live. A live show.
Basically ended with, you know, heaven help.
Yes.
Whoever comes in here to play us.
That's what I was thinking about this week, because we're at that point. We're at that point where people need to start fearing people, fearing the Pirates now when they come to Dowdy Ficklin. And another way, you know how that will help our players, is show up on Black Friday. I don't care if the students are not there. Let's give away a car, anything to get those. Hey, is there a dealership that will step up in Greenville or somewhere to give a car, maybe a car you want to get rid of, a tax write-off, anything. Let's give something away. Kyle had the great idea about the shopping sprees, you know, the gift cards.
Hey, let's give away $3,000 shopping gift cards or cash or, you know, Visa gift cards or maybe $3,000 gift cards to maybe $3,000 gift cards to the mall, whatever. But you know, let's get people to come out. Hey, and I wanted to read this. Morgan Ayler's posted on his Facebook. Bowl eligible with 6 wins, but there's a whole lot of football left to be played. So proud of this team. They have blocked out the noise and focused on being a team. There's eyeball sweat, as Coach Ruff would say, and then there's crying. Today I cried happy tears. Stay the course, and let's go Pirates 1-0 next week. That's Morgan Ayler's, obviously the father of Holton Ayler's and the voice of Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. Emotional day from him. You know he's heard the criticism of his son, and his son who's wanted nothing more than to be a Pirate and loves this place. And Morgan's had to hear that bullshit. And so you know it was a great day for Morgan and a very emotional day for him to finally get to see his son achieve something he's dreamed of since he was a kid. Think about that. Bubba, you and me grew up Pirate fans since we were kids. So we can identify, we pictured it in the backyard as kids growing up, taking East Carolina to a bowl game. Holton's just not another East Carolina quarterback. He has wanted to do this his whole life. And today he achieved something he's wanted to achieve his whole friggin' life, taking East Carolina to a bowl game, getting bowl eligible. And so obviously an emotional post from Morgan. I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah, and he watches the show, and he's a friend. And also the fact, please stop saying, I don't want to hear one more time. If I hear one more time about how Holton, the only reason he's a starter is because he's from Greenville and his dad is a PA announcer.
No, it's so stupid. If Mike it's Houston, so stupid.
Mike, that is so stupid. Please stop saying that. I had someone, and I won't say who they are, but somebody I know that said that, and I quickly corrected them. I said, are you kidding me? Mike Houston is judged by wins and losses. It's not about giving out participation trophies. He is a winner, and he knows Holton is a winner. And guess what?
Saying Holton's the starting quarterback because his dad is the PA announcer would be like saying, I'm trying to give a good example, but it doesn't make any sense. Think about really what you're saying. No disrespect to Morgan Ayler's, but he's the friggin' PA announcer. It's not like now if he was a $1 million donor, then you might have something you can kind of snub your nose at. But the PA announcer, it doesn't make any damn sense. Are you crazy?
Yeah, well, some people are, and they're using any excuse. And I just want, every time I saw him run today, I said, going back to what you were talking about earlier, Matt, I was so happy for that kid. Because he's a great – number one, he has a great dad that I like a lot. Number two, he's been raised right. And you look at that kid, he works his tail off. And when Mike – going back to what Mike Houston said, when all those fans took it the wrong way about fly, you know, about the fans to fly a kite, well, guess what? He was taking up for guys like Holton Ayler's that have been taking a whole bunch of crap for no reason. We have been hurting for many years, yes. We've been hurting, but it's so disrespectful to the players when you put them down for no reason. And I, you know, for me, when I saw Holton do those runs today, I said, you know, it's like one of my dad's coworkers used to say when in sports something happened, you know, good like that, that they got, he would say justice. So every time I saw Holton today and he got those runs and everybody talks about how bad of a player, how bad of a quarterback Holton is. He took our team on his back today and helped win that game. Don't tell me he didn't win all those runs he did today, and he actually tried to make it to the next level. He could have been selfish. He could have been selfish. Yeah. But you didn't,
guys, I'm gonna bow out here. We need to start getting ready to head towards Greenville if we're gonna be there and grab something to eat prior. So I'm gonna sign off here. And guys, it's great to be bowl eligible. You guys take it from here, and we'll be back with y'all tomorrow for the overtime after we beat Western Carolina, and see if we can win four games in a week. Go Pirates!
All right, thank you, Kyle, very much. Kyle signing out. And Matt, you know, we're going to wrap this thing up here in a couple minutes. But, again, so happy for you and all the players. And happy for Pirate Nation. You know what? We are – I was thinking about this week, too. We are the best fan base out there. And I got one more thing to say, and I'll pitch it to you. There are people in the administration, and I'm maybe controversial for saying this, but I don't care because I'm so happy – you've promised that indoor practice facility announcement when we went to a bowl game. So I'm holding you to it. I have the platform. We have a show called The Sports Objective. I don't care if you never come back on our show anymore. Make the announcement. We're going to do the indoor practice facility. Now we're going to a bowl. This is the best time to do it. You said January, so we're going to hold you to it. I've heard it behind the scenes. You're going to announce it in January. Please make the announcement. And let's do that indoor practice facility. We need it. Coach Houston deserves it. He's going to get a contract extension. We know that's coming, and we know that announcement's coming, and I'm going to put Matt Semenza on you if you don't.
I might pull a hamstring getting there.
Anyway, I've waited all show to say that, but go ahead, Matt. That's my last thought.
I love it. I'm fired up. We definitely need the indoor practice facility. So I think that's a great point. But, you know, I want to go back to something we talk about a lot over the last year on this show. We talk about the progression for Mike Houston. And I always go back to when he took this job, we had 68 scholarship players. We were down to 68.
One of your favorite words, brutal.
Yeah. I mean, the program, let's face it, the program was broken. We had an AD that ran the program into the ground. Now, Mike Houston, he was the right man for the job. That's sort of playing itself out right in front of us now. We always thought, you know, I think if you talk to any real like knowledgeable football fan, it was always a 4-year rebuild. So you knew there was going to be a progression. So for this staff and this team to get into a position and forget the bowl game, I think we're now in a position where we can beat Navy, and then if we do that, we have an opportunity at home to knock off the number 2 team in the country. That you're ahead of schedule is my point. You're finding yourself ahead of schedule a little bit. So this has been a total rebuild. This was not a partial rebuild. This was not inheriting a team that was in a great position. This was a total rebuild. So you have to give credit. And you know, I remember Ruffin used to use the term, you know, you can't microwave it. You know, remember he used to say that all the time. Yeah. You can't microwave it. And Mike Houston has done it the right way. He's recruited. He's brought in much bigger bodies on the defensive line and created depth. And so I think it's going to just keep getting better and better. So you got to love where we're at. Everything's in front of us.
I love it. Bubba Rosenbaum, I didn't have the pleasure like a Bubba Rosenbaum, by the way, Matt, and I know you didn't either because you came to the school. But a kid like Bubba Rosenbaum that was born a Pirate, how does this – I want to leave, and I want to ask you that question, and I know you have final thoughts, but how does this make you feel knowing where the program was, then it went took the nosedive, and now it's headed back in the right direction?
Like I said earlier – you know, when that pastel incomplete, just a plethora of emotions, all the hardships that we've gone through as fans the last 6 years, which, you know, pales in comparison to what the players have gone through. But it makes moments like today worth it, worth all those tough times. No, you don't want to go through them, but the good times are even sweeter because of the hardship and all the adversity we've gone through as a program. But, you know, it takes me back to in 2006, and you know, when we were, you know, trending upward on the same upward trajectory that we had under Coach Holtz, and similar situation. Coach Thompson had taken over a challenging situation, probably definitely not the right man for the job, but at the same time, he did some good things, recruited some good players, and then Coach Holtz continued on with that and built it into what he built it, winning a couple of back-to-back conference championships, winning 9 ball games. And that's where Coach Houston and this staff has the program headed.
No doubt. Very excited. Fans, we're very excited about this, and we'll obviously work on behind the scenes on seeing if we hear anything. Obviously, you'll be the first to know on where the Pirates are going, but that'll be in the next few weeks. So we'll keep working on different angles to see if we can figure things out. And if you hear anything, then obviously let us know. Bubba, obviously, one more thing I want to mention to folks is the Pirates have a big basketball game tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. And we tomorrow, that'll be tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Williams Arena Menges Coliseum. That game against Western Carolina, the Catamounts, an in-state rival, and that'll be on ESPN Plus. By the way, we had a chance to talk to their coach today, right, Bubba?
Yeah, Dave and I, you know, we caught up with Justin Gray, the first-year head coach of Western Carolina, a former Wake Forest star from several years ago, Skip Prosser. Yeah, now he's taking over for Mark Prosser, Skip's son, there at Western Carolina. The Catamounts are off to a 1-1 start. We caught up with him this afternoon. Oddly enough, we had planned to do it this morning. Coach had some meetings, staff meetings and so forth, where he couldn't do it then, but was nice enough to accommodate us late afternoon. So we talked to him after the Pirates' victory out at Memphis, and very impressed with Justin Gray. And that interview will be dropping here at 8 o'clock tonight. So check that out here on Facebook as well as YouTube.
Thank you, Bubba, for all your hard work behind the scenes. And we'll obviously have our Pirate basketball overtime tomorrow night. So after the game, so make sure you tune in that. Matt Semenza, you are so great. I'll let you get – I know you've got family there and friends to hang out, celebrate a big Pirate win. Dude, I'm so stoked for the last 2 weeks of the season. I can't believe we're down to the weeks 11 and 12 for us as far as games, but so excited we have a bowl game and look forward to working with you now. We have an extended month to work with Matt Semenza.
Yeah, we do. Well, hey, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, I think very highly of the work you guys do, and I appreciate being here because if I couldn't vent about East Carolina football, what would I do?
Exactly. So, I'd be talking to the wall right here.
And something else, you know, here within the week, hopefully this time next week, Matt and I will be out in Annapolis to celebrate. Well, not yet, but I guess we'll be about the fourth quarter, the start of the fourth quarter, late third quarter at this time because it is a 3:30 kick.
A third quarter because a lot of replays.
Yeah. Yeah. Can never underestimate how fast a game can go with the triple option attack. So hopefully we're getting a lot of stops, a lot of three and outs, and taking care of business, getting win number 7 and clinching a winning season. So you have that and the opportunity to beat Navy for the first time in a decade. Mm-hmm. So there's so much to still play for. And I think with the yes, it's a new degree of success, and they did accomplish one of their goals by winning 6 games and becoming bowl eligible. But there's still so much to play for. I really have a good feeling that I think we'll still come out and play well next week and get number 7.
I do too. And I like I said, guys, this is the payback tour, the November to remember, 8-4. Get your ugly sweaters. Go ahead and get those ready. We're going to rock it out with the Semenzas on Black Friday. I can't wait. And hopefully Chrissy won't mind that. No doubt. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks to Kyle, Matt, Bubba. Thank you to all our viewers and listeners. You've been watching and listening to the Pirate Football Playback, and it's brought to you by L&K Custom Homes. Thanks to Kevin Walker for his great sponsorship of the program. Until next time, everybody, go Pirates.